Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One thing that is what you want to believe it is the current play of the UMass Minutemen after their 77-55 win over Rhodey last night. They are currently 17-6, 7-2 in the A-10. They're in sole possession of first place in the league for the first time since 1998. And the guy who's helped get them there is the head basketball coach out at UMass, Travis Ford. Travis, it's Dale and Michael. How are you?
Doing great, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, no problem. Looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, Travis, I want to ask you right off the top. Tough questions come early, not late in the interview. We talked with Seth Davis of SI, and he said he's giving you guys credit, but he believes that only one team is going to come out of the Atlantic 10 and go to the NCAA tournament. Do you think that's the case? And if so, is that fair?
I'd say no on both parts. I don't think he realizes, I don't think he pays much attention to our league. You look at our basketball league, and you look at us for an example. We sit here 17-6, and still have now, with due respect, we still have a lot of work to do. But 17-6, and you look at the schedule we've played. We've gone to Kentucky, to Pittsburgh, Boston College, to Louisville, Miami of the ACC, and we've played some very, very tough games. You look at our schedule, and 80% on most of our games have been on the road this year. Out of our 14 non-conference games, 10 of those were on the road. And we did that before the season, and we even called different people on the NCAA selection committee and said, hey, is this a schedule that would definitely be something that the NCAA committee would look at? And they were like, oh, my goodness, yes, this is incredible. If you can come out of that thing with 20 wins, you'll be in great shape. Well, I still think that's the case. We've had a lot of good wins and what I call probably good losses as well. I doubt if he has seen our team play in person or on TV or anything, but if you've seen us play, we're definitely an NCAA-type team as of right now, as of today. And I'd say you look at Xavier, they're an NCAA-type team. George Washington in our league is an NCAA-type team when you look at the team, if you've watched them and studied them. So I would definitely say he's wrong. I think there's a lot of very, very good teams in our league. It's just our league. What happens to us is once we get into league play, we start beating up on each other. And I don't think that's a good thing. I think that you need three or four teams that start separating themselves from everybody else. And that's how you get a lot of multiple teams in. And for us, it just hasn't happened that way. We kind of beat up on each other.
Travis, when you came to UMass from Eastern Kentucky in March of 2005, you knew you had a lot of work to do. You knew you had kind of a rebuilding program to go. You brought in some transfers. You brought back a couple of players. But realistically, have you turned this thing around a little quicker than you thought you might?
Yeah, for sitting here 17-6 again with the schedule we put together, for this year, we were being a little concerned that, hey, we knew we'd have a good team, but our record may not be as great as it is right now just because of the, schedule we thought we were putting together. When you take over a program that had really basically had been struggling and not finished at the top of the Atlantic 10 for a long time, that's how I've always judged a team, is how they do in their league. I knew it was going to be a long process because in this day and age of college basketball, it's really not easy to rebuild quickly. It's become much, much harder. And to be where we're at right now, I got to give a lot of credit, obviously, and attribute it to Stefan Lazmi and Rayshon Freeman, our seniors who have been around for a while and kind of the backbone of our basketball team. But, the biggest thing I wanted to concentrate on, and it was the, support of the fans and the support of the students and those type things. And that is this year, if you look at our attendance night in and night out, it's been incredible. And that's the thing I'm, you know, very, very excited about is the support we're receiving.
Travis, you used a phrase a few minutes ago that a lot of coaches honestly would be afraid to use. You said good wins and good losses. Now, there are coaches who don't believe in good losses. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm saying no. I'm not a very good loser, that's for sure. But, you know, when you go to Pittsburgh and they're ranked third in the country and you go there and you give them one of their best games, you know, I think the NCAA committee can't look at that and say, hey, you know, that's a bad loss. You know, I don't think they're going to hold that against you. Or when you go to Kentucky, which some people consider one of the toughest places in America to play, that's not necessarily a bad loss. You know, Boston College, even though that was at home and we were disappointed, we don't ever think you should lose at home. You know, they were just coming off wins, against, you know, some top-ranked teams. They're ranked in the top 20 at the time. Their first team, they're ranked first in the ACC right now, Boston College is. So I can't consider that a bad loss when you start looking at, you know, a team that, you know, hopefully when it's all said and done, we've got a lot of wins. You know, I can't consider those bad losses. Maybe not good ones, but not bad ones.
How do you view the loss at Miami? They're not one of the best teams in the ACC.
Right. No, that you know, I didn't say all of them. So. that was one that I said I thought we'd let get away, and that's probably our only what I consider bad loss because, you know, we lost by 1 point. Free throw shooting got us. That's the number one thing that got us that night. But on the other hand, again, and I know people can't look at this, if you saw Miami play that night, they just come off beating Georgia Tech. They just turned around a couple nights after they played us had beaten Maryland, who was ranked 20th at the time. But if you saw Miami play us on the night they played us, and they could beat anybody. I mean, it was ridiculous how well they played. I mean, they were absolutely on fire. You know, we should have done something about it, but still, they were on top of their game as an ACC team, unfortunately. But again, I think if you look at their record and what they're doing, yeah, that might not have been, that was probably not a good loss. But then we go to Louisville, and people probably didn't expect us to win at Louisville either, which is considered probably one of the top five or six toughest places in America to play in front of 20,000 people, and it sold out. You know, so we got us back a good win there on the road. So, you know, again, you could beat it around. As I told everybody, the only thing we can control and the only thing that matters whatsoever is the next basketball thing. That's the only thing you have in your power to control. But I would say Seth Davis is probably wrong, and he probably actually hasn't seen us play or Xavier play or George Washington play, you know, for 40 minutes. So I would say he's probably wrong in that area.
Travis, you mentioned Stephon Lazmi. Last night he became the eighth player in NCAA history to record three triple-doubles in a single season. We were looking at his bio and his numbers earlier today. He's an interesting guy. He's a 24-year-old guy, and in college basketball, that's unusual enough. Do you think this guy can play at the next level?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. We've had NBA scouts at every game. They come to practices. They call me pretty much every day. They love him. They absolutely are very excited about him. So, I don't think there's any question he's going to have the chance and opportunity and probably get drafted.
What do you think he has to do to be a good NBA player? We had a caller earlier who said he's still not done working on his game, that whatever team gets him in the NBA is going to be surprised. What do you think he needs to do to improve?
I don't know who said that, but they hit the nail right on the head, I tell you. I mean, that's exactly what I've been saying to all the scouts. I said, what's going to happen probably? Somebody's going to draft him, and they're going to say, oh, he's going to be a good 10th, 11th, 12th guy. And what they end up going to get is a guy that's probably a good 7th or 8th guy and a player that they end up saying, hey, we got to keep him on the court. He needs to get 20 minutes a game. That's probably the way it's going to end up, just because his best days are still ahead of him. You just look at the improvement he's making year to year, game to game, and all the different ways that he can affect a basketball game, whether it be rebounding, top rebounder in the league, whether it be block shots, number one shot blocker, you know, probably in the country after last night, scoring. He can score with anybody easily. He's just blessed. He could be averaging 20, 22 points a game, but he's on a team that, you know, has Rayshon Freeman, who's a great basketball player, Gary Forbes, James Life, other guys who are averaging double-figure points a game, or he would be averaging 20. So he can do a lot of different things when it comes to affecting a basketball game. And as your caller said, he's still improving. He's still getting better and better and better.
When you hold a team, any team in college basketball, to 26.6% from the field, you're probably going to win most of those games. Has defense been the cornerstone for your team's success this year?
It has. That's probably been the most consistent thing we've had. You know, it's let us down a couple of nights. You know, going back to that Miami game, we let their guards, you know, they had guards score 31. They were just on fire, and I can't say our defense, it could have been better, but I don't know how good it could have been to stop them that night. They were just literally on fire. But our defense has been consistent of lately, and that is the key to our team. I think we're going to score points most nights, but we can score. Not that offense is given, and that's something that can come and go. But our defense is the thing that we need to hang our hat on and need to be probably a little more consistent with. But, you know, when you got Stephon Lazney in there blocking shots, you're going to hold teams to some low percentages.
You mentioned the attendance earlier out in Amherst. And when you took the job, I'm sure you found that, you know, a lot of people had gone away and they weren't so excited about coming back. You probably had to shake a lot of hands and kiss some babies. What did you find when you talked to people? What was it about the program that really upset them most? I mean, obviously, lack of winning. But what was there had to be something missing that they just really felt they didn't need to see it up close.
Yeah, you know, I think winning cures a lot of problems and ailments. You know, what else besides that? I think everybody may have had their own reasons. You know, and as I told them when I got the job, I wasn't really overly concerned what they were other than, hey, give this a chance because you're going to have fun. You're going to enjoy this style of basketball. You know, we'll start winning some basketball games, but you'll enjoy coming to the Mullen Center and watching these teams play. And as you mentioned, you know, we did. We went, you know, everywhere to try to reconnect the fans to UMass basketball, get them excited again about it, and get them involved again. I mean, you know, when I took the job, started looking at the attendance from the year before and even the year before that, going back, you know, I was just, you know, appalled almost and couldn't believe it. And, you know, now you look at where we stand in Atlantic 10 attendance-wise and what our, you know, attendance has been, you know, this year. You know, we're excited about that, very excited, and want to grow on it. We still have a lot of things to do and accomplish and a long way to go. We're just still beginning this. We're still just kind of starting this thing. But, you know, we're excited about it. But it's not been easy. As you said, there was a lot of disgruntled, unhappy, you know, fans who, you know, everywhere I went, they said, well, I haven't been to a game in 2 or 3 years. Or, you know, I used to go to the games. Or I can remember when. You know, we had a lot of that. And we just wanted to get the fans reconnected, excited again.
One of the things John McCutcheon talked about when he brought you on board, he used the terms energy and charisma. And I'm sure that can only carry you so far, that energy and charisma. And sooner or later, you got to see some light at the end of the tunnel to know that your efforts are bearing some fruit. When did you start to see that light?
Well, you know, when we started winning some games on the road this year, early in the year, we started off really well. And, you know, last year we struggled on the road. We won most of our home games, but we couldn't win anything on the road. And this year, when we started winning on the road and we started getting huge support, you know, at home, big crowds, you know, I could tell people were getting excited about it again and excited about it before we'd really done anything. You know, it was kind of excited about the expectations and excited about what could be. And so I started seeing it turn a little bit then, but, you know, it's, again, it's, you know, we're going to put the work into it. There's no question. You know, we love what we do. Myself, coaching staff, we love every second of it. We like hard work. We like, you know, trying to motivate the fans and the players and all that. But it does help when you add some wins with that. That's for sure.
Hey, Travis, because our pro basketball team is doing so poorly, we've all become college basketball fans trying to figure out who the best players in the college game are. Well, you've been to some interesting places this year. You've been to Pittsburgh, you've been to Kentucky, you've been to Louisville. Who's the best player you've seen this year in the college game? And you play Boston College as well.
Oh, goodness. I'd put Jared Dudley up there, definitely. I'm a big fan of Jared Dudley. I think he's a great player. I think he does a lot for his team. He can score, rebound, assist, defend, does a little bit of everything. I definitely think he's one of the best players in America. Aaron Gray at Pittsburgh, is very, very good. He's he can almost dominate a game. Randolph Morris at Kentucky is very, very good, and then there's obviously a lot of great players in our league. So, we've seen some of the best ones this year, that's for sure, but I would put, Jared Dudley up there with any of them, absolutely.
Travis, congratulations on the season so far. There's a nice piece in the Herald today by Steve Buckley about how the excitement is back at his alma mater as well, and we hope you continue to do well, and good luck the rest of the way.
Well, guys, I appreciate you having me on. We still have a lot of work to do. We're excited where we're at, and, hopefully it can continue, as you said, and hopefully we continue to get the support from all the big UMass fans and, and everybody come out and support this basketball team.
We appreciate you taking the time. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
All right, Travis.
Travis Ford is the head basketball coach at UMass and is doing a great job out there. I mean, the record kind of speaks for itself, but they said there. If you were a UMass basketball fan, chances are sometime in the first year he was on the job, he looked you in the eye and shook your hand at some point or another.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.